This is Twit.
This morning, the FCC held a long-awaited vote on whether to officially abandon net neutrality regulations that would help to keep it involved in protecting the open internet. As expected, under the leadership of FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, the vote split 3-2 across party lines, resulting in the official gutting of net neutrality protections. And joining us to discuss this news is Ernesto Falcon from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Welcome, Ernesto.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Thanks for taking the time to join us. So the EFF Twitter account, I noticed, called this decision one of the biggest mistakes in internet policy history, which is a very big statement to put out there. Explain the EFF's stance on this issue and what this decision by the FCC could potentially lead to. What are people worried about with this?
Well, it is the biggest mistake in its history because it reverses what's been decades of work by the FCC to protect an open internet, both under Republican and Democratic commissioners and chairs in the past. This is the first time, and in a market right now that's very concentrated, where a lot of people only have one choice, where the federal regulator is saying, I think it'll just work out and let's just watch it and abandon all the legal tools it has to protect consumers and competition and privacy and kind of all the like. This is it's pretty drastic. So I think what people should be ready for is the ISPs are now very free to exert their power in whatever way they choose. There really isn't any law that restrains them. Some people will point to antitrust law, but the problem is the Supreme Court has said that the expert agencies should be the ones that handle disputes amongst companies when it comes to antitrust matters before you get to antitrust law. So, you know, if I sued Comcast under an antitrust claim or the Department of Justice tried to, the courts would likely kick those claims out and point to the FCC and says, they're the ones in charge of that. Not, you know, we're not going to have antitrust law play a role when there's supposed to be an expert agency in charge of this. So it's pretty dramatic in kind of what's to come in the coming months and years on this.
So what do you say to people who insist that we're actually just returning to the status quo? I mean, a lot of people are saying that, even people that may be on the FCC. What do you say to that? Like, this is just going back to the way it was.
Well, it's incorrect as a factual legal matter. And I'll tell you why it's incorrect. As of 2005, when the FCC began to reclassify broadband companies as what are called Title I information services, what they did today, back then, they always thought they had the power to address discriminatory conduct by ISPs and violations of privacy under a theory called ancillary jurisdiction, meaning we have this core power to protect the networks on behalf of the public. And related to that, we can extend that power in other areas that involve communications platforms. Comcast, when they sued the FCC under the BitTorrent issue, when Comcast was throttling BitTorrent and won, really undermined that legal theory. And then Verizon came in after 2010 and pretty much put a nail in the coffin. So the argument of we're just returning back to what the status quo is would have to ignore all the court decisions that have really curtailed the FCC power to do anything about what are called information services under Title I.
Right. Now, Ajit Pai had stated at one point very recently that we're all going to wake up tomorrow after this decision, realize that nothing has changed. But this isn't really about flipping a switch, right? And I should also point out that Ajit Pai, I think it was yesterday, published a video that really just went in the direction of kind of mocking people who would say that this is a bad decision. And I don't know. Did his attempts at humor, does that land flatly when you're talking about the major changes that are happening here?
I mean, it was so poorly timed. I think 12 months ago, you know, you can make light of these issues, but now we're actually seeing exactly what the agency is doing, and it's dramatic, and it's really empowering the agenda, and it's purely empowering the agenda of Comcast, AT&T, Verizon, and there's no joke. I mean, there's no laughing matter about this anymore, and the idea that you can do all these different things, while that may be true for the next 12 hours, 24 hours, I'm more worried about the coming years when the kind of the contracts that have been negotiated by like Netflix with Comcast and other big companies, when those start expiring and they have to go back to the negotiation table, and now the ISP no longer has laws that restrain what they can do to an edge provider that doesn't comply or doesn't agree with what they would like to pay. There's a lot they can do to any sort of internet company out there. And there's nothing that the federal government is really putting in the place to prevent that. At the end of the day, Facebook, Google, and Netflix and the big companies probably okay because they can afford to pay the extra fees they shouldn't have to pay, but they're going to have to pay it arbitrarily. But it's the startup community that I worry about the most. They don't have the money at hand to compete in some sort of pay-to-play internet world. I mean, they all depend on an open internet to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've gotten all the bad news out of the way. What about the good news? You say that the Congress can reverse the FCC in 2018. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
Certainly. So Congress can actually invoke what's called the Congressional Review Act. It's a process to repeal a decision by a regulator. The Trump administration used a lot of these at the beginning of this year to repeal a lot of the final regulatory decisions that the FCC and other federal agencies did at the end of the Obama years. And so it's interesting in that it can force a vote in the United States Congress, despite the fact that the Republicans control both branches. And you have about 80%+ of the American public opposed to what this FCC is doing. So, you know, I would always put stock in the political process working out. I mean, you cannot, you know, this is something I tell the kind of the ISP industry is I do not understand how you think you can sustain your policy agenda without the blessing of the American people. If 8 out of 10 or more and 7 out of 10 conservatives think you are doing harm and that you are wrong, why do you think the political process won't eventually bite back? And I think the 2018 year will be a very, very powerful year of people fighting to respond, both in the courts, at the states. A number of states are going to introduce net neutrality type bills and in Congress.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the local municipalities, because I don't know if I'm confused on this point or just don't have enough information. But I mean, there are a lot of local municipalities who are saying, well, we're going to implement something on our own. But doesn't that go counter to what Ajit Pai has presented here for being even possible, that the federal kind of trumps what's happening on the local level?
Sure. So the issue is called preemption. Can the federal preemption and you know, issues of kind of what's the reach of the federal regulator against any sort of state involvement? There's a couple of major problems with what the FCC is asserting here. The ironic thing is by eliminating all of the federal law that really applies to ISPs, they're eliminating their power to say no to what states want to do. The states are actually more powerful now than they've ever been in terms of what they can do with communications providers. The restraint on state power will be when it hits across the state lines, what's called interstate commerce. And that's just from the Constitution. The states are not allowed to regulate interstate commerce, but they're certainly allowed to regulate what happens in their own backyard. And they've always had that power. And so, you know, I think franchise agreements, a lot of cities are going to look at their franchise agreements with cable and telephone. Cities that are providing their own broadband platforms, like municipal broadband, can just on their own decide they're going to operate in a neutral manner, which would be a positive step. And I think a number of the cities that do provide internet service will do that. The limitation of the cities at the end of the day, though, is they cannot fully restore net neutrality, because at the end of the day, you do need the interstate power of the federal agency.
So trust in the political process. What else can we do if we want to change this? What are some things that regular, normal people can do?
So I think contacting Congress about your displeasure about what the SEC is doing has done is really critical, because, as I mentioned before, there will be a vote in Congress on reversing the SEC decision, and it will happen in 2018, probably around the summertime. So there's a number of months leading up to this point. If Congress is successful and if President Trump is convinced that this is just too hot to handle, too many of the American people oppose what one of his federal agencies has done, you know, at the end of the day, he has to decide where he wants to be, you know, as a politician. And I think, I mean, I feel very confident that we have a very super majority of both conservative and liberal voters on this issue. So if Congress votes it through and the president signs it, that's it. It's just the FCC's decision is reversed and things are restored back the way they were. In the absence of federal action in the short term, in terms of 2018, then I think supporting your municipality and your state legislator looking into this issue and doing what they can with local and state power is the natural next step until the day in the future where we can restore this at a federal level.
Do you imagine this will be a pivotal piece in the 2018 elections for, you know, people either voting for or against certain people up for re-election?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. I've been here for a number of these big internet moments, right? And like the biggest ones, like SOPA, is what people remember, the Stop Online Piracy Act. the volume of phone calls to Congress matches that metric or passes it. We're talking about more than 500,000 to 1 million people have called Congress in the last 2 or 3 weeks since the SEC issued its draft order before Thanksgiving. That's a massive number. And the polling showing about 83% and opposed to the SEC is just politically unsustainable. What you're going to see from Republicans, particularly who support the SEC's decision, is that they're going to try to co-opt the language of net neutrality and say, well, here's our net neutrality proposal. But it won't be anything back to what we generally expect from a non-discriminatory network. But they have to, because they know most people expect and like the idea and concepts of net neutrality.
Yeah. Ernesto Falcon with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Really appreciate it when you guys take the time to come on the show. We love the work that you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ernesto.
Thank you for having me.